League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Good afternoon, everybody. What's going on? Welcome to Stretford Paddock. My name is Stephen Howson, joined by Patrick and by Joe. We're having a brew. Hopefully you are joining us with a brew. And we're just going to start talking utter macker about anything and everything Manchester United. Before we get into that, you lot need to hit the like button, and then you need to hit the subscribe button, and then you need to ring that little bell next to it so you make sure you don't miss anything that happens as we go live. We are going to have a watch along later. We'll have the team news, then we'll have a review, all that good caper, and we'll have some stuff coming from Molyneux as well. We've got a couple of lads down at Molyneux, so make sure to keep it locked for Stretford Paddock all the way through the night, and we'll be giving you every single little bit of Manchester United content that you could possibly want. Right, now, headline, there's a good little intro now,
really good.
Didn't even take a breath.
Perfectly done, one take wonder.
Right then, you ball bags, is what we're talking about. Rashford replicating Ronaldo, Wodebus, I know is what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
How's he going to do that? Well, we do have some stats to back up a little bit of what Marcus is doing. Now, this year, actually, Marcus and Cristiano had the exact same number of shots per goal, 8.4, which is unclinical. It needs to be probably like 40% better.
Yeah.
Half of that would be fantastic. Anything in the 4-point summit is mint. So if he can get to like 5, 5.5, that's actually quite clinical. Yeah. Early in his career, this season, if you compare their two ages that he's just had compared to what Ronaldo had prior to the World Cup, he had 10.8 shots per goal, I think, was what Ronaldo had
which
is horrendous.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating at the time. So in terms of that, he's a little bit ahead. In terms of the actual goals he's scored so far in his career versus what Ronaldo has scored, he is a little bit ahead. I do think people are getting carried away comparing the guy to Ronaldo.
Yeah.
But this all comes on the back of, and the headline comes on the back of what one of the journalists in the Times and the Mirror have also run with it.
I think a lot of them run with it.
He's doing the same sort of training that
Rennie Mullenstein.
Yeah, they mentioned Rennie Mullenstein. Now, I've had Rennie on here, and I've spoken to Rennie about numerous different things, including Marcus and his finishing, and he's not working with Rennie. At least as far as Rashford knows, he's not working with Rennie.
Yeah, but how would he know who he's working with? I'm sure the papers Rashford know who he's working with better than him.
Here's what I know. Everybody's doing extras. And someone's just gone, ah, here's a fucking story I think I can get away with chatting shit about. And that's what they've done.
I think at least to a wider debate, though, right, about when you look at where Ronaldo came
from. Who gets a vote?
What? Where Ronaldo came from. No, sorry. But where Ronaldo comes from, like, in terms
Madeira.
Of... Madeira. In terms of the way in which he was taking opportunities and taking shots, trying to make chances, and then he wasn't always converting them, he became more clinical, becomes the best player in the world. I think in a similar way, Rashford, if he has the same work ethic, which I think he does, and which I think he's going to be able to apply himself in the same way. He's one of the few players in the world who you could say has the potential and the physicality to perhaps...
But what Ronaldo did just... I've never seen anyone do that before or since that. How he went from the season that Rashford's just had in his own season to then going to, what was it, 32 the next year?
He took the same number of shots.
Yeah.
All that happened was he scored more goals.
Yeah. But it's just that doesn't happen very often, does it? So Ronaldo's almost a strange example, obviously because he went on to score so many goals, but the way his career went from being this sort of show pony who couldn't really get many goals,
no end product,
to that is almost unique to Ronaldo, though, isn't it? Like, Messi always seemed to have that clinical side to him, but it was just about him maturing and getting a bit stronger and getting into the game more, whereas Ronaldo did kind of transform the way he looked and the way he played in a way that I've never seen before or since. So to expect that from Rashford, I think, is putting a bit too much pressure on him, or just unlikely. But the idea that he can't improve, like some people said last season, his finishing's not very good, he's not a finisher, and you can't teach that. Of course you can teach that. It's ridiculous. It's one of the biggest like fallacies in football that you can't teach finishing. Of course
you can
teach finishing.
Improved year on year because he's been training at it and working at it, right? Same with his positioning, same with his running behind, it's all getting better, as it is going to get better year on year.
What I really liked against Chelsea was the ball over the top that Pogba played.
Yeah.
The touch that Marcus had to bring it down, honestly, was sensationally good.
That reminded me of Ronaldo. There's a couple of goals he's done that the chop back inside from the left
against Liverpool.
There was a Liverpool and there was another one that was an even better example of it. Just the chop and then up into the top
corner. The goal he scored against West Ham in the FA Cup, final replay or something, where he sort of does around a bit, just inside, boom.
Killed in the top corner. But there's a few goals, a few times where he really does. That Chelsea goal was especially like that. The touch, the way he was sort of so upright and present the whole time, and he just put it in quickly, no dawdling, no taking time. Like if it had just taken half a step more, he'd have been tackled. But he just had it perfectly. That's a confidence. That's like a sure he's going to score.
This is a guy that's coming for a lot of criticism, and people go, he's only in the team because he's Mancunian. He clearly is not. He clearly is not. But his stats at this age group,
madness.
Better than Terry Henry's goals per game. Better than Cristiano Ronaldo's. Yep. And I think what's worth taking note of is not only is it better than Cristiano Ronaldo's, but Cristiano Ronaldo produced those numbers in a team where he had Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Wayne Rooney alongside him.
Yeah.
It was a much better football team with a much better manager.
Rashford's done it in our worst period in modern history.
Yeah. And I think that needs highlighting, and I think that needs celebrating. Now, is he going to have a go on and have a better career than Wayne Rooney? Probably not. Is he going to have one anywhere near Ronaldo's? Probably not.
Unfortunately for him, he was in a crap team when he was in a period of time where Rooney was winning stuff already.
Yeah, Rooney had already won two or three Premier Leagues by the time he was 21. Whereas obviously Rashford's
not necessarily
playing in a team that struggles to score 50 goals.
When did he
come? I'm sure he won one
at 21.
Yeah.
But Rashford's in a team that struggles to score 50 goals in a league season. Like that's just ridiculous, isn't it? Like,
let me find this for you because I did this season the other day. A little bit of looking into something, and that is
cheeky little look.
Rooney 18-21, 68 goals in 14,000 minutes, one goal for every 220.3 minutes. So it's not exactly like mega prolific, but that's what a young striker does.
Yeah.
Now that's mostly played
generation does
alongside Van Nistelrooy, who did score the goals, and he also played generally up front. That was really before he started drifting wide and coming real deep. He was almost played in a partnership.
Yeah.
Now Rashford's played maybe half of his games down the middle, probably half on the left and a handful on the right. Not really played in a partnership, and definitely played in shit teams. 47 goals in 10,536 minutes, one goal every 224 minutes. He's 4 minutes off what Rooney was getting in terms of goals per game. It's not bad.
And that's why I think he is going to become one of the world's best players in a few years' time, in four years' time, whatever. Whether he's the same level as Ronaldo...
Can we just roll this back? He's not the same level as Ronaldo.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And he's not going to be the same level as Ronaldo.
I think we might not see a player as good as Ronaldo
ever
for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
Probably won't.
In the next 4 years. So, yeah, he's not going to be Ronaldo.
That's something next level. But
the fact that you can even pull his stats up and hold them up against the guy that's.
Question whether that's a possibility.
If you can consistently get 20 league goals or even 15 plus league goals, 25 plus goals overall in a season, if you can, get that sort of four or five out of, 10 times or, relatively consistently, then that's a great career for him. So he doesn't need to even be anywhere near what Ronaldo got to be a great striker.
If you look at Alan Shearer's record, most Premier League goals, whatever it is, there's only a few candidates who can possibly break that. BBC did an article about it a few months ago. It's really interesting. Now, you look at your Harry Kanes and your Agüeros, and you say they have to carry on playing for many, many years into what a lot of players retire, still get, like, they need to be 34, 35, still getting 15-plus goals a season.
You say Kane does?
Yeah.
Because he started late, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. You know who hasn't started yet late, and you know who's going to continue to
Mason
accelerate.
Greenwood.
Mason Greenwood. Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
If Marcus Rashford's continued developing, gets to a point where he scores above 20 goals for three seasons.
That's just Premier League, not all goals.
Yeah, has a season where he scores 25 plus in like 3-4 years time. Then consistently gets plus 15 this season, almost 20 next season. Boom, boom, boom. If he builds like that and then drops off, still getting plus 15, he's basically the only player who can do it.
But it's so hard to Greenwood. Do though, because
I think Greenwood could
Greenwood
overtake
as good
him.
As we think
I think he could overtake him.
Yeah.
Now this is mad because, like we just said, the fact that we're even comparing him to Ronaldo, right? I don't think I mean, give me a thumbs down if you think Marcus Rashford will be as good as Ronaldo. Give me a thumbs up if you think that he won't, right? Thumbs up if Ronaldo will not be touched by Rashford by the end of his career. Thumbs down if you think he will. And I'll look at this, because I don't think anyone's saying that he will.
No.
But what if I put it to you? In fact, we'll have this one as well. After we've done this one, you guys can have a quick vote on it. Mm. Will he break Rooney's record, or will he come within 10, 15 goals of Rooney's record? Because that's 253 goals.
I think Rooney's underrated.
He's got 200 goals to go. If he plays till he's 31 and he scores 20 goals a season, he's broke it.
I don't think he'll do it. Just because of how good Rooney was, and like I said, the team he played in, the fact that Rashford has to be the number one striker, or at least...
Just 10 years, 20 goals, he's done it.
It's like you're selling me insurance on a car here. 10 years... £20 a year, and then that's it. In 10 years you've paid off the car and you get to keep that car.
But I think Rashford has the potential to do it. Whether he does,
I think he has the potential to do it.
That's 20 goals all competitions. Yeah. He can get 25.
Yeah. How many goals is that?
He gets 25.
If he pays that off earlier,
if he pays that down, and the interest on those goals.
What if he gets 31 season, then he only has to get.
No, that's it.
But the chances of him, getting 30 are very low. Most strikers don't ever get 30 goals in a season in their whole career.
This is how much Ronaldo and Messi have absolutely broken everyone.
People's brains have gone mad.
Because they'll be like, "What? He didn't score 50. He must be dog shit." I remember when Cantona scored 23 and was unbelievably amazing for us.
Like, Zlatan should be the best striker ever. But he's not, because he's been completely eclipsed by the two best strikers. Like, look what Zlatan's done over the last 15 years. No one, other than maybe Suarez, has even got close to it.
Never won a Champions League as well.
He's never won a Champions League. But in terms of goal scoring, getting 30 to 40 goals a year for sort of as long as he has done, and yet people don't even consider him, you know, one of the top players. I think Rashford has to have a real top career to get close to what.
But doesn't that show you that? Like, I think there's improvements to be made in his game. I think he's finishing. Well, I know statistically his finishing can improve. Yeah. I think I'd like to see him take on defenders more one on one, because I know he's got the pace to do that. I would like to see him use more skill doing that and less just raw pace to beat people, because we know it's not even fair. But I'd like to see him stand someone up and go around the outside and get a cross in. Yeah. Don't see that enough from him.
No.
There's aspects of his game.
Say you want to see him hit above 15 this season. How many more has he got? He's only got 13 more to go in 37 games. Say he scores again tonight.
What it's like with strikers. If he gets injured, all of a sudden he's gone 6 weeks without getting a goal. Yeah, you know, a couple of bad weeks and he gets injured or something. I think I was watching some highlights of Kaká yesterday, and the way that he takes the ball.
He was all right.
Yeah, he was pretty good. The way he takes the ball, and he's always just sprinting with the ball at his feet. He's not doing that like slow half step to go past someone. I think with our counter attacking style that we're sort of trying to. We should sign Kaká. But I think if.
Messi Schneider, I heard.
And the same with Ronaldo. You look at those early years of Ronaldo, he's always just at full pace with the ball.
Yeah.
And you don't see our strikers doing that enough over the last few years. We've allowed defences to sit so far back that the pace of our strikers has just been completely neutralised. And I think with this new style, the pace of Martial, how good he is on the ball, the pace of Rashford, hopefully we can see them actually being able to use that pace and taking advantage of getting goals.
I wonder if they're going to be able to build an effective partnership going into the season, because that's what the attack depends on.
We're going a little bit steadier on the right hand side with possibly a Mata or a Lingard or Dan James or someone not quite as spectacular, not quite as attacking.
Yeah.
The left hand side, you've almost got like a partnership that sits over, because Rashford finds himself down the middle sometimes. Tony Marshall likes to drift out there.
Yeah.
That might work. It's not balanced, but maybe it doesn't need to be balanced.
Yeah. I think in the Chelsea game, one of their more negative takeaways was that in the first half, especially Martial and Rashford were often tripping over each other's heels. They'd both want to be on the wing, or at least one of them would be like far down the wing and the other one would be on the edge of the corner of the box. What we need is, if one of them's going to be on the wing, the other one goes, right, I need to be central striker in the box sort of thing.
I think the right hand side thing. I think maybe we can be, you know, slightly one sided and not particularly even. But I think if teams know that we don't have much of a threat down the right hand side, that isn't a good thing. Mm. That isn't good. We should be as good down the right as we are down the left. Why would you not want that?
And that's why we bring in Sancho next summer.
Sancho. Dan James looked good. I thought he played well.
Daniel James for me is a super sub though. I don't know if he's not first team quality right now.
But we don't really have anyone else on that right-hand side at all, do we? Which is, I think, you know, something a lot of fans wanted sort of rectified over the summer, which just didn't happen.
I think because we were going after... We knew that the problem was defence, right? Like, defence was the big issue. If we could sort our defence out, then we might stand a bit of a chance. Hence why we didn't strengthen the right-hand side. But that's where we need to improve. Because the type of football that we play, Lingard suits the pressing part of it. He doesn't necessarily suit the quick counter-attack part of it. Mata doesn't suit particularly either, but is a useful player to have.
And Lingard's good on the ball, but he doesn't really take players on and doesn't he doesn't go past someone and shoot and score goals, does he?
Not all the time, no.
No, you don't see
Which is why, you know, Lingard, when he comes off the bench, is electric because he, because what Lingard's very, very, very good at is pressing, but also spotting gaps in defences and goes into them. Well, so I think the goals he scores, he scored headers before because he's able to run through the gap and find a place.
I think he's better at 10 than he is on the wing, though.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. Yeah. I think it's the same with Mata as well, right? Mata...
He just doesn't have the pace,
though,
does he?
I think Mata, at Chelsea and United, was one of the most underused players because he was so often played out of position and most underappreciated because if he had played in that cam role his entire career, I think he'd have been...
But I think, unfortunately for him...
Imagine him playing in like a team that won a title.
Didn't he win a Champions League with Chelsea? He was around then. He won a World Cup with Spain. Was he in that squad? I think he was. I'm not sure.
I think the only team that he could fit into with his physicality is City. Because I think anyone else playing at a number 10 role, he's not quite quick enough. And if he loses the ball, he can't recover ever.
If he had hidden away, like a lot of Spanish footballers, I don't say hidden away, but a lot of them like to spend their time in the league, that they're comfortable in the league where they can take their time on the ball and pass the ball around. If he had stayed there, he'd probably be considered one of like the better players in that league for most of that career.
Yeah, probably.
Because he came to Chelsea and then he decided to stay in England by going to United.
Yeah.
I think in a way he almost like impacted his sort of legacy.
Well, you could imagine him.
I love him, and I think when he's on one, when I watched the Huddersfield game on last Boxing Day, some of the balls he was making cross-field were dumb.
Well, he's probably the best we've got at that. But I think if you'd have played at somewhere like Bayern Munich his whole career, in a team that's winning leagues, in a team that can have a bit more of a luxury play like that, I think, like I said, he would be regarded as one of the best attacking midfielders of his generation. But he just, the Premier League, he can only ever be so good, I think.
Yeah, because of his lack of physical.
Yeah, can you imagine it? Barcelona springs to mind in that Xavi role.
Yeah.
Because he's very attacking, but I think he could have played the Xavi role in a team that was that good and that dominant.
He's wonderful on the ball. He's wonderful on the ball. He's probably losing it a little bit now, but it's one of those things where you say one of those plays that you wished you had seen in a really really good team playing in a preferred position, winning titles.
I think Matt has said this on every single video for the last month or so. Imagine what the party's going to be like when we win the league again.
It's going to be mint. It's going to be top.
I can't wait.
It's going to happen because it will happen.
It will happen.
We'll win a Premier League.
It will, right?
But you can.
We'll win a Premier League before Liverpool.
We've got a Liverpool fan here that's giving us the eyes.
Yeah. I'm quite an optimistic fan, generally. I'm not a one to sort of kick everyone out. This is crap, sell everyone. But it's been, 6 years since we won the title? 7 years?
Is it going to get to 10?
I mean, you can see how we could have another season. It definitely gets to 10.
Especially if we're trying to win it with youth, right? But imagine the feeling of Greenwood, Rashford, Garner, Gomez, all around the Premier League trophy. And then a couple of years after that, maybe a Champions League. That would be...
There could be
that's what
that
made that team
that.
In the 90s so amazing. And that's why we all had a connection with them, because it was, you know, we'd seen them. Yeah. I mean, you guys can't see, it's just off camera there. I've got a Class of 92 shirt with my dad's programme from the Class of 92 final. It's right there. As I'm looking at Patrick, it's right above his head.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got... half the Class of 92 signed it and Rio Ferdinand, because my son's an idiot.
His son does a great Rio Ferdinand signature, so he put that on there. Forged it.
We was at the Class of 92 versus Salford when they'd just taken over. Like, they had a little friendly game against them, didn't they? And I took my Class of 92 shirt and I went, just get everybody, right? Rio Ferdinand was there. Jaden's like, yeah, I managed to get some real rare ones, like Raffy Burke, who you never see, you never hear of. Like, I think you got Chris Casper. I've got Neville Giggs.
A real collector's item.
Yeah. And then he's like, I got Rio Ferdinand. I went, fucking what?
I'll be honest, though. You just saying to him,
how dare you get Rio Ferdinand's
autograph? He did get everyone.
That's on you. That's on you.
Yeah, I think that's bad for sure.
And it's the most obvious one as well, because it just says Rio.
Yeah, it's that big,
you can't even just pretend it's somebody else. It just literally says Rio. So, yeah. Class of 92 shirt with Rio Ferdinand's signature.
Well, you know, better instructions next time, eh? That'll teach you.
Yeah, I guess it was clearly my fault. Oh, no. But anyway, the reason why that team was so well loved is because, you know, Phil Neville is never going to have ever hit the heights of Ryan Giggs. He's never going to have hit the heights of Scholes or David Beckham. But he's part of something. And that might be Scott McTominay. You know, that might be Jimmy Garner. You know, that you don't know who's going to take that role. You know, Greenwood might be the Giggs or the Beckham or the Scholes of that team. You know, Angel Gomez could be the Paul Scholes of this team when it matures. People forget that it was into their 20s, 21, 22, when the likes of Beckham and Scholes especially really started to make an impact. They made their debuts. I think 4 out of the 6 made their debuts in 92 at 18, 19. Giggs was 91. But I think it was 94 and 95 for Scholes and Neville to come through.
Yeah, and it was and none of those players that made the debuts really truly broke through properly.
No, and you also had Chris Casper, Ronnie Warwick, you had tons of people, really? Simon Davies. I mean, that was a bit later, but yeah, you had so many players that come in and made their debut, didn't quite fit everything else and washed out.
That's why I'm excited about the academy, because the sheer number of players who were all going, they might be good enough. He's definitely good enough.
Just need their opportunities.
Like, say a Chong might be good enough, might not be good enough. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. Daniel James being brought in, maybe he's good enough, maybe he's not. You know what? If he's not, that's fine. It was a sensible investment. We made the kid's dream, whatever. Look, he moves on. Done.
I said this on the warm down we did, which is going out tomorrow. Let's assume that Luke Shaw has now become the weak link of the defence, which not necessarily doesn't mean he's super
weak, but
it's a strong defence, and if you had to replace any part of it, he might be the part that you choose for it. I'm just purely hypothetical. It's not as deep as you're all trying to make it. But let's say that we want to sort Luke Shaw's position out, right? Instead of us going, who can we buy? I would so love it if the club's always first thought was, is Brandon Williams good enough? Is Leo Connor good enough? And then they go, well, let's start him in the League Cup.
Boom. That's what we should be doing this season.
Let's give him half an hour in Europa League against that tricky right winger that they've got. And if he deals with it, give him another half an hour. That's what you're supposed to do. And do you know what? If you've given him 7 half an hours to the end of the season and he's not been good enough,
that's okay.
Then go buy someone.
Well, the thing is, I think with that though, you've got to be bringing those players into a dressing room and a team that is winning games and that is exciting to watch. Because remember when against MK Dons under Van Gaal, and they got beat, what was it 4-1, and it was just horrible. If we're playing good football,
you integrate it sensibly with David a bit of Beckham, experience and a bit of youth. That's how you
David Beckham played in the team in the League Cup that lost to York.
Yeah, no, not that it's the end of people's careers. Of course, you can come back from things like that. But it's especially if United are playing good football. If we're not going to win every game, obviously it's going to be a fight for top four most likely. But if there's a good feeling around the club and exciting football, then it's a good platform to bring players like that through.
Of course, it's always better to come into a winning environment.
Absolutely.
To be surrounded by players that win stuff. But I think it's overplayed. Like, you've got to sort everything out. No, because what if that player's just... What if Mason Greenwood is just good enough?
Well, yeah.
Which he is.
Which is what we saw from Rashford under Van Gaal, obviously. Yeah. He just forced his way into the squad. What if he's
just good enough? In the League Cup, that's why I want to see us. Especially, so take the weakest points on our team now. You'd say the midfield, right? And more
in terms of depth,
the right wing, yeah? So that's what I want to see. Garner, I want to see Garner playing in the League Cup.
But then again,
that'd be exciting.
Talking about if they're good enough, you're talking before about Phil Neville maybe not being quite so good. Would he have thrived? Would he have worked in a Van Gaal team? You know, someone of that quality, where he played 200-300 games for United, loads of games.
That's why.
But I think he was helped by being in a good team.
You consider him a successful youth academy product?
Oh, of course,
because he saved you buying somebody.
Yeah,
like John O'Shea, people would be like, "Oh, how good was John O'Shea?" Well, I think he's got 400 appearances or something.
Seven Premier League titles.
Good enough to be in your team for any length of time, and then moves on and continues playing at Premier League level.
Nicky Butt. Do you know what? Nicky Butt and Ryan Giggs. Because this is what I think, people go, don't put pressure on them. They play for Manchester United. Fuck you, they're under pressure, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
We're not putting anyone under pressure by talking about them on this fucking show.
They don't
show.
Even hear it. Most of it, they don't see it.
To be fair, they do.
Oh, but they do see it. They watch all of it.
Especially the youngsters.
Everybody watches every single Stretford Palace.
Especially the youngsters. Yeah. The youngsters do watch anything that's about them. So you could almost make it say it's worse to talk about a youngster than it is to talk about someone in the first. But anyway, side by side. I don't think it affects anyone near as much. Ryan Giggs and Nicky Butt played in that defeat 4-0 at the Nou Camp when we got torn a new one by Barcelona. I think if you're a good player with a strong mentality, you can come through regardless of the circumstances.
Oh,
a lot of the Class of 92 lads made their debut But Beckham, Scholes, they all made their debut at 17, 18 in the 92 season when we didn't win anything, when we was very under pressure and bottled it, essentially. Yeah. Because I think we played 4 matches in 7 days and we didn't get a result in any of them, and that fucked us for the league.
Yeah, well, thank God.
Handed it to Leeds.
Can't happen anymore.
Yeah, and we handed the title to Leeds. Those players was coming in a time when there was a lot of pressure on Fergie. Mm. It started to win a couple of cups, but we were still a shit team, really. Like, we didn't have any goals in it. Then we brought in Cantona and everything just fucking changed. Just, it was like someone turned the colour on.
What a beautiful man.
Mate, as I was 12 or something at the time. 11, no, was it? No, it was 9 or 10, I think.
I've still got my Cantona height chart in my room at my mum and dad's house, like, stood next to it. How tall are you next to Cantona?
So I grew up in what was very much like the post-Cantona era, where he was a legend, he was gone. But I still, if my shirt had collar on, pop. Goes up. No questions asked.
Cantona made me fall in love with the sport.
Mint.
It's hard to describe because it's not a stats-laden era that we're in, that we were in then versus what it is now.
It doesn't need to be. It's personality.
He had as many assists as he had goals, but you don't find that stat anywhere. I think he had 21 goals or something and like 23 assists in his first season.
It always reminds me of that the film Looking for Eric. There's a scene in it where the guy asks Eric Cantona, oh, isn't your favourite memory like that goal you scored where you chipped it? And he's like, no, my favourite memory isn't this assist.
It's a pass.
Yeah, it's a pass.
Do you think that's his actual favourite memory, or do you think that's...
I reckon it's probably...
What's Danny Boyle's favourite memory?
Maybe. Or maybe he asked Cantona himself.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He might well have done. That's a great film,
When I cuddled him, I put my head in his chest like he was my granddad.
Did you?
Just proper...
What did he smell like? Can I guess? Did he smell
he's
like...
He's French, so he smells like wine and cigarettes.
He smelled like a vineyard. Yeah. A bit of BO, but in a nice way. And
French
sport.
Didn't... I've got really bad smell, so I didn't really have a good sniff of
should
anything.
Have had a sniffer
there
dog there with
Welcome
you.
To the Stretford Paddock, where we discuss what Eric Cantona smells like.
But I got a proper cuddle. The best part of it is... And I'm still trying to find it because it is in my dad's garage somewhere and I just can't fucking find it. It's carnage in there. And I
like
can't find it. Yeah, every garage.
Sofas.
It's got all sorts of shit in there and I can't find it. Music. So I took an Eric the King flag to Iraq and Afghanistan and everything with me. And when we met Cantona, we was kind of... I can't remember what the fuck we were waiting for. I think it was Adam to take a picture and he'd that nervously locked his phone. Mm. So it was always my header on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I just went to it and went... I went, you seen that? I took it to Iraq and Afghanistan with me. And Cantona went like this. Whoa. And I was like,
oh, shit, amazing.
And then Cantona goes, will you send me this? And I was like, fuck it, right, I will.
Yeah, what can I have your address, please?
I don't send it to you over a phone. Text, give me the number.
I'll kiss it to you.
He gave me his brother's business card. Cop out.
Such a cop out.
Absolute
send
cop out.
Send it, mate.
So yeah,
Cantona.
Fucking sent it immediately and was like,
niece.
Do you want to come on my podcast? I'll walk.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in. I know where he is. He's in Lisbon. I will find him.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in Lisbon. He's lives in Lisbon at the minute.
Is he
still mental?
He's back on Instagram now, isn't he?
Yeah.
After the whole egg game.
But Cantona can do whatever the hell he wants. He can do whatever artsy.
I know who sent him that.
Oh,
sounds like Schmavid Schmay.
He can do whatever.
Like, those are words.
He can do whatever artsy stuff he wants.
Schmavid,
and he'll still be the
think
most
about it.
Macho the man I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's fucking awesome.
He's me.
He's absolutely awesome. We went to that one night show that he did at the Lowry. And it annoyed me because there was clearly a drunk crowd in there and they just wanted to sing Cantona songs at him.
Yeah.
And they totally interrupted the flow.
He just wanted to be like, he's one of the few footballers, not few, but he's a footballer who is actually so interested and weird and fun and excited.
He had
a fucking knob interview him, right? I'm not saying I'd have done a better job, but I fucking absolutely would have done.
I'd have done better.
Right?
I'll say that.
They had a guy going... they asked him like these PG questions and Cantona, you could see he was getting frustrated with him because he kind of like looking down almost shaking his head
like winning the league with Manchester United
worse, right? Really? So Cantona's gone on this unbelievable rant when someone had asked him how he would run a football club and it was getting interesting as fuck and it was edge of the seat shit and he was like because obviously his English is fucking terrible still, really, in the grand scheme of things. You can only just about understand him. And he's talking about how you've got a ring fence 21 and unders because without them, the game doesn't fucking exist. And FIFA needs to do this. And the importance of bringing youngsters to the game and how he loves safe standing and behind both goals should just be 21-year-olds. He's going in on all of this sort of stuff. And the guy, he's got a fucking iPad with him. And he goes, yeah. So talk to me about when you got sent up at Selhurst Park and you're like, fuck off. the way off. Are you mad? So ask him a follow up. Yeah, like this was going down such a fucking brilliant path.
It's just the basics, isn't it? People, yeah, it's just,
basic journalist who have been given a list of questions.
So the number
wasn't
seven,
even a journalist.
Then?
He was a fucking MC of some sort.
Stuff like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, you're just like, mate,
just wasting such a massive opportunity. Like, but,
you know, that's just what it's like. That's the problem. Isn't it?
I actually pitched some stuff to Otro, and I don't know if it's going to come off or not. They actually have started using. They call it talent, which is obviously outside presenters. Mm. I don't know how much everyone saw of Otro. It's Cantona signed up to it, Messi, Suarez, David Beckham's a big part of it, which is how it was supposed to have Beckham for the Legends weekend. And obviously Cantona's on it, Lukaku was on it. I think they got Gabriel Jesus, Mendy.
There's massive, lots of players. It's huge.
Yeah. There's tons of people that are on it. And they asked me to pitch some stuff that I would do with different Legends. So I pitched some stuff with Beckham. They said Beckham's really up for reminiscing. So one of the things that we'd spoke about to do with Beckham was to take him back to the old lady that lived opposite the cliff that used to be his landlady and just sit there, no matter what her kitchen looked like, it'd have been perfect.
No matter
what it looks like, if she's got pictures up, mint. If she's not, mint. Like, it doesn't matter.
No.
Her, me, Beckham sitting over brew. And I was like, yeah, we like it, we'll pitch it to him. It's not come off. And then he was like, what do you want to do with Cantona? And I was like, oh, can he legally adopt me?
Yeah.
Like, is that a thing we can do?
Just move into his house for a bit.
And they went, he's really interested in, obviously, family. He's really interested in, obviously, he's like philosophy. He's interested in immigration. He's got loads of fucking mad feelings on that, and he doesn't want to talk about football. And you're like,
how many footballers, like, do you know have like a really well-rounded personality to the point where it's like you're interested in what they're talking about?
Well, you're not really allowed to find out anymore.
No, but Cantona,
because Rooney had a hilarious personality, and he just slowly squashed out of him. But I'm sure a lot of players have more of a personality than you think. But Cantona's obviously one that never either didn't take the training or was like, see you later. So he's a great one.
I pitched a number of things to him, and they did one. They did it without me, unfortunately. But they did one, which was, I think the heritage of Cantona comes from Sardinia. I think it comes from Sicily. Mm-hmm. It comes from a few different places. Barcelona. I think his family were migrants that all found themselves in Marseille in France. And one of the ideas that I had was to take him to watch a match in those areas and then talk to him about what was going on. I also put all sorts of crazy shit in the pitch as well, like just teach me how to drink wine, because I haven't got a fucking clue.
Oh, hell yeah.
And how good is that?
Just you in like an old farmhouse, like tasting
just sitting
wine
there, just getting smashed with Cantona.
Yeah.
I'd be like, is this real life?
And then obviously you just pop a ball out. You just do kick-ups with Cantona, both absolutely bladdered. That'd be so good.
It's one of them that you just go, is this real?
Yeah.
Like, even having the meetings with Otro to discuss these things, you're kind of like, this is never...
Do they call him Eric, or do they call him Cantona, or do they call him the king?
I'd call him the king.
Yeah.
I called him my god, Montague, when I saw him. He just laughed at me.
It was
I fucking love Eric. Oh, my God. Right, should we see what you knobheads are saying in the comments? Let's have a look.
That's not
what you're like the video, nearly 1,000 people watching. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you have subscribed. If you haven't, fucking get subscribed. Mm-hmm. And like the video. Can't find any actual questions. Looks like it's just a chat going on amongst everyone in the comments.
Yeah, a lot of people
that's good. That's what it should be like.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah,
it should. Should we talk a little bit about the Wolves game, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? We have got a Wolves game coming up in like 2 hours. So,
what do you think they're doing right now, players? Are they eating their pasta at this point?
Probably just getting to the stadium, I imagine, at this time.
Yeah.
Not far off it.
What we're thinking, predictions-wise, do you have...
I'm going to predict that we will be doing a watch-along for the Wolves game. Man,
look at this guy.
Hey, did you like that?
Professionalism.
Which is why
that's
you
need
to subscribe.
And that's why you need to hit the notification button and come and join us.
How does he do it? Years of practice.
So, yeah, on the watch along, we've got me and Joe. We're getting rid of him. We've got our brother Omar. And we've got Joe McGrath coming in as well. Who wants fish and chips tonight for the match?
I love a bit of fish and chips, mate.
With curry sauce, though.
Yes, curry sauce, or gravy,
no,
or peas, or whatever.
Curry sauce.
A bit of moist.
Fish chips, curry sauce.
On mushy peas.
Love it.
Yep. But I wouldn't have, if I was having mushy peas, I wouldn't have it alongside curry sauce. I'd have one or the other.
No, I like a bit of both.
Gravy with mushy peas.
Curry sauce to dip your fish in.
Boom. Curry sauce and mushy peas.
I wouldn't allow them both on the same plate, but in the eating arena with your little bread and butter with your cup of tea.
In the eating arena.
You're going to take the piss out of this, but
I absolutely am.
I like to make. Do you know when you put. Right, so you put salt and vinegar on your chips.
Before you say this, can I just say, when we was in Australia and Singapore, Joe ate some of the most insane shit.
True.
This guy today, he bought in a packet of cold prawns and ate them for lunch.
He says that like that's weird.
absolutely weird.
People eat prawn
please,
salad.
Please tell me that's weird.
Please get in the comments please, if you think. Just say, yeah, that's weird. That's just, no, that's totally normal.
And they were frozen a bit, actually, which made them a bit, a bit less palatable.
You can't
right.
Do that.
So, do you know when you put fish, you put salt and vinegar on your chips, and all of a sudden, yeah, they taste great. They're soggy. The vinegar's sogged your chips out.
I think that's what you call over vinegar in your chips.
Because I like them tangy.
You want nice and crunchy. And that's it's got to be a bit of tang.
Right.
You don't drown. You don't bathe them in vinegar.
All right. Okay. So, let me ask you a question.
You ever had?
I don't know. I don't really go around ranking every meal.
I can tell you mine right now.
I eat a lot.
Easy. Ultra and Fish Bar, their curry sauce is next level.
Next level.
Next level.
Has anyone been to Alan Paul Fong's in Drawsden, right? I think he's got a one star on the health thing,
it's
which means that you know it's absolutely banging. Because if you've
that's
got
not
one
what
star,
that means,
that's what
by
it means,
the way.
Right?
It's if not. You're, it means that there's rats and
if you're
living
one
animals
star,
on the meat.
And you can keep going in business, you know you're banging.
That, right.
Logic.
I don't think that... Anyway,
just because he didn't wash his hands after a piss, right?
Yeah.
That actually adds to the battered sausage flavour.
That means there's fecal matter in the food. That's not washing your hands. That's there's like poo in stuff.
Zephyr Gaming says, weird lol.
What's weird?
I never even got to it.
So what I like to do to avoid... Let me just get this out of the way quickly. What I like to do is to avoid my chips getting soggy, I make a little salt and vinegar emulsion on the one side
and then dip my chips
in that so they're still crispy at the point of mouth contact.
You haven't answered the prawns issue.
What? Prawns are fine, mate.
No, not cold.
Prawn cocktail. That's a cold prawn dish.
We went to eat street food in Singapore and it was, what would you say, like top three meals you've ever had in your life? It was fucking sensational. And it was about,
fish heads.
I think it was about £4 it cost us in the grand
really
scheme
cheap.
Of things. It was so cheap. What did you have? Did you have octopus or something like that?
No, I had raw scallop dumplings.
What else did you have?
I had a lobster
and prawn larb, which is a traditional Singapore, or I think it's either Singapore or nearby, maybe Bali curry. It's like a coconut type curry. I had some prawns in that.
Of course, he had prawns.
Love it.
I don't think.
What did you have? Then?
I don't think that's
he
the
just
traditional.
Had a beef sandwich.
I feel like
he just
like
had toast.
Prawn, I feel like
every meal because he's normal.
Is not the traditional.
What did you? You had weird stuff as well.
I had a chicken curry, I think.
Yeah.
Right. I had standard.
Essentially, what's like a Nando's grilled chicken.
Yeah.
You got a Nando's delivered from England.
What did I have?
I don't remember. We all shared.
I went out there with it. I had some. I think you've had some dumplings. No, I had. Oh, I had beef wontons. No, pork wontons. I had, which were.
That sounds great.
And there's something else I had as well. Because I just there was a guy called Hunter that was showing us around. Shout out to Hunter, who did buy a stingray as well.
So
we had barbecue sauce stingray, which was. Do you know what? If I had to describe it, because I'd never eaten stingray prior to this, it was like wet chicken, wasn't it?
Yeah, big wet chicken, big flat wet chicken.
Was it actually good?
Yeah,
it was really nice.
Flat wet chicken,
mate.
Flat wet chicken. It was just like overly wet chicken with barbecue sauce in it. Yeah.
Right, should we talk about the Wolves game?
Oh, go on.
You got halfway through a prediction, then we started talking about flat wet chicken.
Listen, if anyone can fucking derail a conversation and talk about food,
it's
this
Stephen
guy.
Housen.
Look, I'm probably going to end up with a food show at some point in the next week or something.
You got the pizza club, which is close.
Oh yeah, I guess.
It's close.
No,
you
I mean,
need to start eating
actually
live
cooking.
On that.
You actually cooking,
that'd be
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you sure that,
I'm
are you
a
sure
pretty good cook. I think I can definitely get better, but
from
I'm
what you get for lunch, you sure it's not going to be you just not cooking, ordering stuff from
the. Now here's the thing, because I can't be asked cooking and we only have a microwave here and I hate microwave food. I like my shit fucking done fresh, either on a fucking grill or just some shit like that. I fucking hate microwave food. And the other option is eating cold food, and that can fuck off and all. So I go with Deliveroo.
Deliveroo.
We definitely should be fucking sponsoring this
Chef
after the shout out that we've just got. And to be fair, they should be sponsoring it for how much we spend with them. Jesus.
Yeah, but imagine if you got 50%
all right, how much I spend.
Basically you.
Buy a new house.
I don't have that sort of money. I'm a student. That's not for me, is it?
Score prediction for the Wolves game.
Oh, we're talking football.
Oh.
What do you reckon?
I think 3-0 United.
Oh my word. No, not a clean sheet. Nowhere a clean sheet. Two clean sheets
what,
in a row.
What, we're fucking Slabhead and Wan-Bissaka?
Two clean sheets in a row. It doesn't matter. Luke Shaw will be out of position.
We had like how many clean sheets on pre-season? Who's on it? Who scored against us?
AC Milan.
That was the only team who scored against us,
I'm
right?
going 3-1. I think we'll win. But it'll be a tough game.
I think it's
going to
be way harder than that. Solskjaer's never won at the Molyneux. We haven't won there in three. I think we haven't won there in our last nine visits.
It's a horrible place to go now.
I think Mason Greenwood's never not won against them as well.
That is true. I think 1-0 United in an absolutely horrible.
No,
game.
I think it'll be a horrible 3-1 though. So we'll go down. We'll come back before the half is over. It'll be 1-1, and then we'll get a goal in like the 70th minute, and then on the counter, like after a lot sustaining a lot of pressure, Daniel James down the other end of the pitch wins a penalty or scores a goal, something like that.
What's the best food you've ever had at a match?
A match?
Ooh. See, that's kind of just got a football match. Two streams.
A football match? Or can it be any
match? I'm going to open up because I know you're going to talk about cricket.
I can tell you now.
I'm not.
The Super Thin Harps has won awards, so the Super Thin Harps.
Right, if anyone's favourite food is soup.
It's a national institution.
That is so much worse than eating scallop dumplings.
It's an institution. Having soup at Thin Harps is important.
Soup. Fucking soup?
Soup.
Do you get any bread around to dip in it, or you just got to drink it out of a cup?
You get any bread if you want. Yeah. It's
less weird
it's
if there's bread.
Important. It's very, very important.
What flavour soup?
It's just like chicken.
It's chicken.
Chicken, onion.
I don't agree with that. I think soup's bad.
Two old women have made the soup there for years and it's mint. So there you go.
What happens when they die?
The soup dies.
They've taught other people how to make the soup. There's other people there now. Yeah. Mm. So soup.
What's the best thing you've eaten ever?
Do you know what? I was well disappointed with a hot dog at the ball game in San Francisco because I was like, this is an American institution. Yeah. This has got to be the. No, shite.
Is it like one of them rollovers that you get over here?
Yeah.
So someone's just drilled the most tepid little dog.
It was totally wrapped in tinfoil, which meant I had a soggy bun.
Yeah.
No
to soggy buns.
Hashtag no to soggy buns.
A couple of years ago, when I went to watch Salford, I got a pie, chips and peas from there. It was like £2.50.
Rugby or football?
Very decent.
Football. That was pretty good. Pie, chips, peas, gravy.
Berry has a good pie and peas combination.
Apparently, Preston's... butter pie. It's supposed to be decent.
Butter pie.
They do that.
Butter pie. It's a Lancashire thing.
Butter pie.
Potato.
Has that any chicken? No. Slab a bit of butter.
It's literally potatoes, butter pie.
My mate Aidan keeps on telling me.
Fantastic.
Butter pie.
Really good. Really.
You got to say it like that. The butter pie.
All right. Okay.
What's the point?
United's not great.
No.
The pies are nuclear. You have to buy it, put it on the cold concrete, and then consume it
at the end of the game. Might have a chance.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
Too hot. They are really hot.
Yeah.
The food at United generally is pretty poor, isn't it?
Yeah. It's gone up in price again.
Again?
Yeah. Again.
Sorry, £7.80 for a pie.
As if the beer could be more expensive.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Lower your prices, Manchester United. Lower your prices. That's it, we're not going to get a deal with them anytime soon.
Stop talking about food, someone says there.
No, shut the fuck up.
This is Houston's Brew. It's literally about tea.
Literally about
food. What goes with tea? Yeah. Pie.
And are we talking about
fish
food
and chips
at the match?
Yeah.
Yeah,
someone saying Doubtberry has that at a minute, not served this year anyway.
That's actually a very
come on, lads.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
They've had to postpone the game, Bolton.
It's mad, though, because this country has got... When you think of American sports and the way it's all run in America, you're essentially looking at an area the size of England has like one professional team in each sport, which is mental. Because when you think Greater Manchester,
and that's why
has so many professional
teams. That's why franchises suck.
Yeah, because then they'll just leave.
There's no history to it, really. No.
LA Rams? You mean St. Louis Rams?
Yeah, it's so dumb.
United NFL pie says Alex Thompson. United pie is not a bad one. It's got a bit of cheese in it.
Mm.
It's got chili in there, a bit of beef.
We just get like food one of the 92 grounds. We just tell you what the pie is and you tell us the ingredients. I reckon you'd know a lot of them. You can just name that pie. You just see like a real zoomed in picture. That is the that's the cheese and onion pie at Coventry.
That's definitely one of Pucker
pie.
It's chicken and mushroom.
Yeah, I know what that
pork pie at Charlton.
Oh, look at that. That's
In fact, was that your idea, Jake?
Special.
Someone's idea was to go to every ground and just have a pie there.
It's a thing. You can go online. There's like websites where people just go and find grounds. But we can do it in video form.
That'd be great. Okay. And you get to eat 92 pies.
Yeah.
Is it 92? How many grounds?
Do ground hopping, but you don't care about the ground.
Yeah, there was something I pitched to TFR before they went utter dog shit, and it was to break the world record for doing the 92. To basically wipe myself out at zero. I'm on about like 40 something, but wipe myself out, pretend I'm at zero. Break the world record to do them, because the world record's about 190 days, which is a little over 6 months. And this is a guy that did it with a full time job. I could just fucking.
Whereas he's got nothing better to be doing.
I've got absolutely fuck up making content, brother. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Do you have to watch a game at each one?
So what I
okay,
full 90 minutes.
Right.
So I was like, right, you can definitely do this.
Yeah.
And you can even do it in 100 days or less, because there is a match on every day.
Yeah.
What the best way to do it is to make sure that you've got London on a couple of weekends, and you can get free games in sometimes on a London early kickoff
in a day,
lunchtime, late
Saturday,
kickoff.
Sundays,
if you can line them up,
Monday
you can get
football.
Three. Yeah, so that's where you really start to make ground, because there's going to be some random Tuesdays and Wednesdays where there's nothing you can do.
Now, does it have to be the team that plays their home games every week at that ground, or can it be an under-23s game?
No, it has to be a first team.
It has to be a first team.
That was the rules of it. At that ground.
Trying to find
first team game. That
that's doable. You could break that record.
So we could. We looked into the logistics of it. We figured out we could do it in about 95 days, and it was like 2-3 years ago. They looked at the fixture list, and they were going to have a moped guy that would come and pick me up from like the early kickoff in London.
Sorry, a delivery driver.
Yeah,
he was bringing in food anyway, so he might as well.
Can I up on the back,
mate?
And then you'd get to the 3 o'clock, and then you could get to the evening kickoff, and you'd have to do that a couple of times. They spoke to, I believe, Vauxhall about sponsoring it because we were going to drive there for most of them.
We should do it.
And they also spoke to, I believe it was Ginsters to sponsor it. I believe they ended up asking for too much money as a sponsorship, so that's why it didn't happen. Nice. Now, TFR have actually started to do it. But they're doing it like one every month.
So they're not going to break the record then? They're just
going for the record. They're just ground hopping. So they've just gone.
There's a million people.
Here's an idea that's amazing. Let's just fuck it up and do it not as good.
There's a million people on YouTube with ground hop. Some of them, some great vlogs, but they're not trying to.
Who's
going to
try and make? I think the way we worked it out, I was going to try and make like 10 or 12 episodes. So like essentially one episode a week. Yeah. So that would start with a few seconds almost, 30, 40 seconds from each of the games that you visited.
Yeah.
And you've got to record yourself there at full time, kickoff or kickoff and full time. But we would also do that in the middle of it, go and taste the food, rate the atmosphere, you'll talk about the price. I think it would have been an excellent thing. I can't do it now with a newborn, but it's something I would like to do.
You can fund me and Joe doing it then.
Well, so if we had a random football channel, it would be one of the first strands I did.
Yeah.
You go and make friends and connections and network with people at all of these grounds, whether that's content creators that write fanzines, whether that's people that do YouTube, whatever it is, you go and make connections with all of these places, and that's what you're supposed to have. And if you had a football channel that covered all football, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, TFR had such a fucking lineup, man. You know, they had Dave, McCullough, like Rob Armstrong, True Geordie. They had so many fucking absolute belting fucking people. Imagine if you tried to put a channel together now with that level of people. Yeah.
You'd have to
Lawrence
ask,
and fucking Statman Dave. It'd be insane.
Yeah. I reckon
what about
like
Pogba?
What about?
I reckon if you go on any YouTube video that's been put out in the last 4 years,
Pogba?
That comment is there somewhere. What about Pogba, mate? I'm reviewing maps. I'm discussing whether you can light.
Can you guys talk about football? Save this discussion.
We've been talking about football for the last 40 minutes.
The 92
football grounds in England is football
among three blokes just talking about anything.
We were talking about
football. That's what you want.
We was literally talking about football.
I know.
Football grounds.
Yeah.
And because I'd love to go and attend a match at every single one of them grounds. That's an awesome thing.
Yeah,
it would be great. It would be really good.
I think he's saying wrap it up.
He was doing this.
We've been talking for that long. Every 10
like
minutes.
A naughty little cheerleader, wasn't he, in the background?
I don't know how long we talked for. About 45 minutes.
It's been enjoyable, though, hasn't
it? Super professional.
And it's been about football about for football, probably 85%
genuine
of
topics.
That.
Spoke about everything that I put in the description.
We
were supposed to win 5-2 tonight, though, according to BT.
Yeah, according to BT's the script, we're winning 5-2 tonight. So lumping on that. And if you win, I'll
give us
that.
Half the money because we owe it. We'll see
you for it. Daniel James. Thanks for tuning in, brother. I thought you was playing tonight. Says, do you think United support Brexit given the amount of British players they're signing? I don't know if they support it.
I think they're aware
of it. I think they're preempting issues with it, which would probably be a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
You just miss beers. Go, 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 go.
There's plenty of beer here.
I'm trying to cut. Yeah, I am trying to cut down on my beer today. My physio today was talking about beer and he was like, you need to drink less beer. I was like,
he was massaging him. And all of a sudden, a jet of Amstel just shot straight out of his knee.
I was like,
you need to have less beer, mate.
He had one just down his pocket.
Ready
to go at any moment. Ready to go at any moment.
One sec, Doc.
Chris Joseph here, trying to turn this into a bloody actual football podcast, says, what are your opinions on Ollie's tactics?
Wow.
Good. Brilliant.
Do watch-alongs. Well, Keane, there is a watch-along starting.
Subscribe.
In precisely...
2 hours.
2 hours.
And if you're not subscribed to it, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Notifications.
Yeah. Subscribe. Notifications. Job's a good one. And I better see you on our watch-along in approximately 2 hours on this channel.
Remember the name.
Yeah, remember the name. Are your opinions on Ollie's tactics? I thought it was spot on against Chelsea.
Spot on.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be... Hopefully he's like flexible when you come up against teams that demand it. But the idea of counter-attacking, fast-paced football, pressing, perfect. United way.
Yeah, I like that. It seems as though we've got a style that can outlast managers, outlast players. We've got more of an identity back. I think that going forward can only be a good thing.
I hope our identity is Solskjaer's identity, because I fucking don't know where you go.
That's what I was writing about earlier is, because what we've been screaming for the past 3 years or so is, please give us identity. Let's play attacking football. Let's play youth. If Ole does that, which he's doing, and it fails, our identity, what we see as attacking and youth, is more threatened than ever, because they'll go, right, that didn't work. In comes another overpaid Galactico who's going to be crap.
But hopefully they won't.
It's Chelsea's identity.
It's Chelsea's identity. I don't want a business identity. I want the football team, and not as a business, but as what it means to millions of people as a family and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's huge. It's Manchester United's identity isn't just being a successful football team.
No.
It's being a successful football team that does things in a certain way.
It's being a proper football team that gets success, because a lot of proper football teams won't get success.
United seems to get called not a proper football team as well, which is a bit of a piss take, because
we are
absolutely
in comparison to other teams in the top
80
six,
years of having one of our homegrown in the squad.
And also, if you look at all the
rivals worldwide,
there's very few football teams that have our success and you can say proper football team.
No.
We're the only, us and Arsenal are the only teams that have won the Premier League, except, well, Leicester, I guess, but the only teams that have had any...
A team I won't mention from Merseyside.
Any teams that have had any sustained success in the Premier League era that haven't got their money from oil, basically it is oil, isn't it? Is Man United.
Jack Walker's wasn't oil.
I don't even know what that is.
I think it was toilet paper. Am I wrong on that? Or was that a Reddit shoe meme at the time that I just fucking fell for?
And toilet paper.
Well, you're not wrong, are you?
We're still owned now, boy.
He was the last guy that was like a local businessman that bought his football team and made them a success. The Blackburn Rovers owner. But he did pump money
into it. Guy owned Wigan for years as well.
The guy that broke his leg in the final, never mentioned it.
What, really? That's a shame.
Let's make Galacticos not sign them. Yes, that will help with business identity. Perfect. Yeah, that's Stuart Lee. Good comment, mate. What kind of meal did you fancy when City got VAR'd again?
Humble pie, please. A juicy steak.
A nice slice of humble pie.
I was actually eating at the time.
What were you eating?
Shock horror for everybody.
Just intravenously.
Welcome to the food
asleep,
podcast.
You had some gravy going straight through the veins.
I have to, when United aren't playing over weekend, I have to spend time with the wife. So we'd gone out to eat.
Why do you want to do that?
I just looked somewhere cheap and cheerful. Like, we went to TGI's.
You went to TGI's, nice.
TGI's, you got to have the JD chicken strips.
Not sponsored. Not sponsored again.
And also, they do something called a boneless chicken wing. It's basically like a chicken nugget almost, but it's not battered. They're outrageously good with blue cheese, if you know what I'm saying.
This is getting more and more like an advert for various food companies.
Look,
he's trying his best. He wants sponsorship. He wants TGI's.
Are we gonna
have a Coke deliver
in the middle of the minute?
I am overweight.
Beats headphones on.
I like
stuff.
Food, right? Don't know if anyone's noticed.
He likes his food.
I do like my food.
Yeah. And he's willing to take any sort of
physical
fitness.
Beefcake. I stepped on the scales this morning.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
Can we guess?
You can try.
I'm good. I want to keep
What, in stone?
I want to keep.
Do it in pounds.
Okay. I'm going to say
in sterling.
265 pounds.
The upper limit of the UFC's heavyweight division.
That's what Brock Lesnar weighs, who is, seven inches taller than you?
Is he 7 inches?
I don't know. Is he
5 inches, I think.
5 inches taller and whatever this is.
Jacked.
Yeah,
built.
He's a shed.
Jacked
he's a Wendy house of a
he's
man.
He's a Wendy house of a man. That is one.
He's like a killer whale.
Patrick, do you want to guess in pounds? Do you have any idea of pounds?
No, I'm not really very good with rate, but I'm going to go
do it in stone and I'll convert it.
I said 265, which is the upper limit.
Do it in stone and I'll convert it.
I'll do pound. 265. 220.
It's like The Price is Right, isn't it?
220.
Except, oh, no. He
220
dies.
For about fucking 10 years.
220.
282.
Oh. Got on the scales this morning.
282?
282.
That's not good.
Right,
that's like
for
a
those
sea
who,
lion.
For those who don't know,
that's what sea lions weigh.
That's like very, very unhealthy. Very unhealthy.
Right, for those who don't know, I've been smashing the gym like it owes me money for the last few weeks, right?
Oh, my God.
And in that time,
that's what you saw. Like, if you're still taking on more calories,
the reason I said
that you burn whilst going to the gym.
The reason I said 265 is because I knew he weighed about 265 before he started at the gym. And I thought he'd put a bit of muscle on, lost a bit of fat, probably about where he was.
No,
he got on 20 pounds.
I have lost a noticeable amount of body fat. Like when I stand there playing myself in a mirror,
I go, you're wearing metal shoes at the time or something.
Mate, I got on the scales this morning and just went, fuck's sake. Because I am targeting it by a weight figure that I'm aiming for.
And it's just not happening. It's going the opposite direction.
It's going the opposite way. Because the thing is, because I've not worked hard at the gym properly for a long time. It's water retention in a fucking massive way. But it's a nightmare. So anyway. Why is he dancing again?
I don't know.
Does he wish he worked on an aircraft carrier?
He loves it. There's no reason to.
He's like beckoning us in.
Shut up.
Oh, okay.
We'll be ready in an hour.
So yeah, 20 stone. There you go. It's £2 over 20 stone if you want to get technical.
Have we got the 20
stone? Which was a fucking figure I never thought I would get to be honest.
That's gorgeous, isn't it?
Jesus.
That's nice and round.
Basically, when I was with Brendan and Kane the other day, who both fight at 145... I'm like both of them.
Oh no, that's not good. That's really not good, isn't it?
That's really bad.
But they are all muscle.
Yeah.
Housen, you need a diet, mate. How about shut up?
Yeah. It's, Steer can mock himself.
Yeah.
But we can't. He's got a bow and arrow around.
Someone there says, I have 75 pounds. No one weighs 75. Maybe that's his bank account. No way does he weigh 75. This is a 2-year old.
So I'm really interested in this. So I did a bit of Googling this morning because I was fairly alarmed because the weight has been going up a little bit. And it was going up once I started back at the gym. It was going up £2 a day. Now, that's not body fat. It's not possible to put on.
If you gave £2 a day to a charity,
yeah,
world
you'd be skimped by the end of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you put £2 on a day, you fucking scare yourself when you look at the scales.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was going up £2 a day. So I was like, that's not fucking right, and my piss was fucking like tea, to be honest. It was that dark,
right? Yeah,
so dehydrated, but water retention. So I was like, how fucking long does this last? So I don't know how long it lasts, but it's still fucking going up. I'm hoping at some point, just fucking like 30 pounds. Just fucking,
I don't think it works like that.
What if you burst?
What if I get to 300 pounds?
If you get to 300 pounds,
if I get to three bills, what am I gonna do?
You can't, let you get to 300.
Yeah,
we have to.
I'm dropping leg day from the routine because my legs are fucking large enough anyway. We're dropping leg day and just doing extra cardio.
You just got to
if you get to 300 pounds,
food that puts fat on you,
we're doing something terrible to you. He's bought a crossbow for some reason,
or a bow and arrow,
a little kids like Rufford Park.
Go find it,
a proper one.
Where is it?
And he's gonna have titanium ended.
But what we're gonna do? Yeah, we're gonna fire an arrow through your hand. If you get 300 pounds, we're gonna arrow you to the wall.
If we can fire an arrow through your stomach and it doesn't kill you, there's a problem.
And just gravy comes out the hole.
But I've dropped a load of body fat.
Well, that's
which is mad.
So
I don't get it.
Is it healthy to not obviously be that weight?
It's definitely not healthy to be 282 fucking pounds.
To have a lot of weight but have it not be fat.
Well, if you it's muscle, it's
but
one
you know
thing.
What? Because I got that little blood pressure monitor thing, didn't I? Because I was like, Jesus, what the fuck's going on here? And blood pressure is, I think the correct term is
fine.
Fucking bang on.
I know, yeah. That's the annoying thing.
Because I was a fucking athletic 10 stone ago, like nearly 10 stone ago, my heart's still in fucking good nick. Like, what's this here?
CARDIO, all in caps. Cardio.
Try running, mate. It's already good running rates, lifting weights. You need to go for a run.
Well, here's the issue. I can't run, which is one of the issues why I put a lot of timber on it.
You have to.
No, I physically can't run.
You got to.
The injuries that I have, I cannot run.
You could maybe swim.
I've got to do the elliptical.
Swimming. Very good for it.
Yeah, but
swimming's really good for toning and getting.
But I'm doing the elliptical. I'm smashing the elliptical, and I'm doing quite well on the elliptical. I physically can't run because my calf issue. But
welcome to personal time with Stephen Housen.
Yeah, fuck. I'll talk to you about it. How long did you come back? Oh, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Basically, for 3 weeks, just been absolutely. It's become a routine.
You're going to the gym like every day, basically.
Yeah.
I'll come in. And you'll turn up 15
or at least
later,
he comes
after the gym.
Yeah, he comes in gym gear, sweating. We don't know he's been to the gym.
That's a great point.
We just know he's done.
Just walk past Greg's and got excited.
Everybody gets excited about Greg's.
Yeah,
you're not really from Manchester if you don't get excited about Greg's.
Comes in reeking of short crust pastry, pretending he's been to the gym. Yeah,
yeah, I went to the gym. Personal trainer.
It's just the sweat from eating.
Yeah.
But yeah, so at the moment, £282. I was going to talk about it on Wednesday with Brendan, because obviously Brendan's going through his own weight thing at the moment.
And you can compare it.
He's like fucking welterweight. He's got to get out of 145. He's got like £30 he needs to shift. So I thought we could have a nice...
Does he know how much you weigh?
Brendan.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to, we've been having a chat with Brendan.
He needs to crack the heat up in here, and he needs to wear one of those like tin foil.
Yeah, if he's got one of those tin foil things on during the watch along, it's because we're trying to sweat 70 pounds of water out of him. See how that works.
282.
That's insane.
I fought at 170.
Yeah.
I think, Joe, you put a bit of timber on. I don't think it's meant to be. What you fought at plus 112 pounds.
My flat doesn't weigh 282 pounds.
There's weight classes at 115 pounds. I don't think you're meant to weigh a weight class more than what you fucking weighed in at.
Your leg shouldn't weigh more than Mighty Mouse, should it?
Stay in MMA soon.
That 90% diet, can we have a fucking conversation about that as well? Because that is absolute bollocks.
What is that? What does that mean?
People say 90%. You can't out-train a bad diet. That's something that people say all the fucking time. Well, do you know what? In the army, I had about as much fat as this table had on it.
Yeah.
My diet was worse than it is now. The only thing that's really wrong about my diet now is there's a couple of pizzas in the mix.
Yeah.
It's energy drinks.
I think
that's the problem.
That's a big thing. Let's talk about energy drinks and you, because that is next level.
I know that's a big thing.
That's next level.
And that is the I'm wearing most of them. Right. Yeah. So that is the fucking big issue with them, is I've got to cut the energy drinks. But you can't just go cold turkey on them.
You've got to wean yourself off them all.
Yeah, that's not a belly. That's a mini fridge full of Red Bull.
Yeah, it is.
It is literally full of Red Bull.
Sugar-free can help.
But you can out-train bad diets.
But I think the suggestion is that most people, your body burning 10,000 calories a day.
Yeah, your body becomes efficient at burning stuff when you're doing it on a regular basis. I just don't have the work capacity at the moment because I've just fucking got no gas tank. Like when I go jits or go wrestling, I got a round in me, man, and that is it. Now it's a fucking absolute wild ride for whoever's in that round for that one round. I'm a fucking nightmare.
But then afterwards, like single punch.
Yeah. Me and Brendan have been talking about going doing a fucking session with him. I'm gonna wait till he's 44 fucking rounds deep before I step onto the mat.
And then
so have any sort of if I were to hold him down, he's fucked. Yeah. Right. But if anything else goes down,
you know what? I reckon people like that. I reckon he has a way of getting out of that.
Well, we're going to find out. We are going to find out probably after this camp.
MMA
later. He's going to jump off the top rope or something like
it's not WWE. Kind of wrestling. Oh, right, I'm going to hit him with a chair. energy drinks is the big issue, but you can definitely out-train a fucking bad diet without a shadow of a doubt. These guys are all fucking mad in the comments now.
They're talking about random stuff.
Shut the fuck up.
We've lost all our viewers. It's all over.
We haven't,
because people actually care about talking.
They want
to
hear about
stuff.
Him admitting that he's, what is it, 2,000, how many pounds is it, 282 pounds?
282 pounds.
People want to hear that.
That is, by a fucking long shot, the heaviest I've ever been.
Yeah. How much do you weigh, do you know?
Very little. To the point,
give me in stone.
I don't know.
If he falls out of bed, he goes down little. Like
I reckon I'm like on the lower end of a healthy weight for someone my BMI, basically. But I don't know.
Can we get
a number? I can't guess. I don't know stone. I don't know any.
Kilograms.
You don't know any measurements of
how many bags of sugar.
I genuinely, it's a weird thing. I just don't
know. How many flat packed wardrobes?
I don't know. Probably one.
I weigh about 200 pounds.
I am.
You're tall as well, though, so that's
yeah. But this is what I'm saying. If I stand up next to you, I'm tiny, aren't I? So
that's not really interesting, because I reckon he's less than 10 stone. I reckon
probably. I'm tiny. I'm stronger than I look, but I'm not big. I'm not bigger than I look. I weigh more. I do. Thank you. All right, Cam's laughing. He's tiny. I don't give a shit. It's true. I don't give a shit.
He's stronger than he looks.
But I should question.
You can out-train a bad diet. You can definitely out-train a bad diet.
I am heavier.
But you can't.
Laughing at me. What the hell's going on?
Out-train a bad diet by not training.
Issue. Are you sure about that? Okay.
He's threatening people
I'm
now.
Threatening people
Let's start
now.
Threatening people.
It's little man syndrome.
He's stronger than you look.
You're small.
He's stronger than he looks.
I'm tiny. Absolutely.
Let's not. Let's not get it.
Lewis Carroll says, can we have a weekly house and weigh-in, please?
That's what we should do.
I was actually thinking of doing. That's the reason I was bringing it up, not necessarily on here, but what I wanted to do on Wednesdays with Brendan. Because I'm going to speak to Brendan about the challenges he's got in fight camp getting down to fighting weight.
Yeah.
And I thought, might as well just fucking throw mine in the mix as well and see what the crack is, because I'm going fairly heavy in terms of what I'm doing in the gym, but I'm definitely fucking dropping legs off out of it because my legs are massive anyway. I don't need, and that's muscly massive as well as having a bit of fucking blubber on them. Even if I was skinny, my legs would still look great, so there's not a fucking, I don't need bigger legs.
No,
it's fucking hard work finding jeans that fit proper anyway, so you know, I don't need any fucking bigger legs. I think I'm just going to drop legs off the fucking thing.
No, I
haven't got that prison body thing going on anyway. So, I think I'll cut legs out and I'll probably do an extra fucking elliptical session.
Someone there, great point. Hauser needs to travel to every club ground by bike.
That's how you lose the weight.
No, that's calves and thighs.
Yeah, calves. My calves won't handle
it. You need to run there, or you need to walk there.
Swim there. Walk, swim to every ground. Just round the outside.
Swim.
Yeah, round the outside of England.
There's a guy that's done that. There's a guy.
Ross Edgley swam all the way around Britain.
And he's
157 days of swimming.
Fair play, that is.
He's a fucking savage and a half.
Next level.
Didn't his lips fall off or something?
Tongue.
Oh, even better. Even less dispensable.
He's a very interesting guy.
I'm sure he is.
He's a very, very interesting guy. Steve would need to have to cut to make heavyweight. Correct.
Yeah, no.
I am what now? Nearly 20 pound over the upper limit for heavyweight.
How tall are you?
5'11" or 5'10".
It's like DC, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, me and DC probably fucking not far off. Although I think I'm probably about 40 pound heavier than him.
I know.
There we go.
That's and a lot of that weight is in my leg. My legs are fucking very big legs.
Yeah, you got some chunky,
some fucking chunky rugby player thighs, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's an interesting one.
Right.
Got to be 18 stone. Try 20, brother. Yeah. Do you know what?
Yeah. Come on.
Probably time to wrap it up.
You should show your legs. Someone's
I've seen the Slack. I've seen the Slack, and they're not happy with us.
Asked. You're going to fight me. Casper in the comments says cross country skiing, Housen.
Oh my God.
I will dig out a photo for next week because I was at the World Championship for cross country skiing in 2005.
As a competitor?
Yeah.
You were what?
Yeah. Now, this is because the British Army just enters you into events, right?
I just tells you.
This is a lie, by the way.
No, I will dig the photo out. I think it was also an article in the MEN.
Can we put the photo in the comments?
I will, when I find it, because I've got to go home, and there's one at my mum's, but I think I've got the ones of me actually skiing in front of the sign which says, it was in Hochfilzen, if anyone wants to Google this.
Did he finish?
Hochfilzen in Austria. No, I finished only a bit behind the guy that was representing Britain, innit?
Fair play.
And about 20 people from the Army fucking beat him.
Really? Well,
I can't cross-country skiing. So that guy gets much funding.
No, there's two types of cross-country skiing. There's one where you go in the little channels and you fucking shuffle your legs around like that. That's wank, and you look like an absolute sausage doing that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I wonder if this story is fucking.
Oh no!
It's probably.
I think that's probably a place to end.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you off air.
In that case, there we
especially
go.
With what's gone on with some people today, I think I'll probably fucking leave it and tell you off air. But the other one was it's called skating. So you slide to one side and use your poles to push you that side.
That's the one.
And then cut to and slide to this side. You're doing like 10, 15, 30 fucking kilometers, and then you're shooting. The Army loves you doing that sort of stuff because it's soldiering skills.
Yeah.
Nordic skiing is a soldiering skill.
Welcome to British Army recruitment stream.
Mate, it was the best thing I did. When I joined, my uncle goes, volunteer for everything. And then this thing came up, was like, who wants to be on a ski team? I was like, I do. And they went, have you ever skied? And I was like, nope.
You do it anyway.
And he was like, no one else has applied. In you go. And there you go. So yeah, there was like 200 fucking something people. I was probably in like the last 20.
That sounds really good though.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I was happy to compete. It was like 35 kilometres.
Where? What country was it? I know you said the place.
Oh, so
what country was it?
I ended up, I think I spent nearly 20 weeks away. Went and did like pre-season in Norway above the Arctic Circle in like it's a place called Svignal if anyone's in have got any Norwegians in it's a place called Svignal which is north of Lillehammer.
I don't think there's many people left to be honest with you.
You're wrong because there's 900 people watching.
Damn. Well, there you go. I get told it's bad content by the producers over here.
Obviously
there
not. Watch time through the fucking roof. So a place called Lillehammer, which is where they, I think they've
been all sorts of he's so not happy.
Yeah. We spent 6 or 8 weeks there learning how to ski because we didn't fucking know how to ski.
And then you're going to compete in a tournament. So.
Came home for Christmas. So that was like November into December.
So you forgot all your training.
Came home for Christmas. I grew my fucking hair really long to the point where my bosses was like, what are you?
Are you looking like Joe a bit?
I'm a skier now.
I had like, it was like early 2000s when it started like a mohawk.
I had a mullet, frozen mullet. Just stuck
and
in
we went
position
out,
behind
check this out,
you.
No, this was the best bit. We drove from, I think we got the ferry in Newcastle to, I think it was to Germany. I think that's right. Or that might have been to Norway in the first place. Whatever. We went to Germany, south of Germany, started there. Then we did a bit in Austria, and then we did a bit in Italy, and then a bit in France. A couple of weeks in each one, competing at all sorts of different events. It was fucking sensational. There's a place called Sir Chevalier in southern France, near Nice, I think.
Yeah,
sounds very.
It was like Magaluf. On snow, it was fucking outrageously good.
Is on snow, isn't it? That's the
different kind.
Oh, different kind of snow.
It was fucking mint. The only weird thing about going clubbing in a place in a ski resort is everyone stinks. Because everyone's had fucking jackets, jumpers on all day on and all dancing day. Away in the fucking nightclubs. Yeah.
Imagine
everyone just fucking
the steam as well. Yeah. So much.
One of the best experiences of my life. Like 20 weeks or so away, just fucking skiing. It was absolutely mint. And then I never did anything like that. And they fucking sent me a wall loads of times. Absolute dicks.
There's wolves.
Righty. Shall we wrap it up there on that note? Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure to come and subscribe. And we will chat all sorts of bollocks again this time next week. Later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.